This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown. One podcast at a time.
Hi, listeners.
Listen to the Books and Booths podcast with me, host Anna Timperley, and
Marlena Lear, as we crack open a bottle, or two,
or three, and dive into some interesting books, airing the first Wednesday of every month. Bye!
Everybody to another episode of The Convergence Enigma with Josh and Stefan. I am your host, Stefan Gearhart, and I am joined as always by the psychically ungifted co-host of mine, Mr. Josh Rutledge. What's happening, sir?
You
didn't know I was going to say it because you're ungifted.
Well, everybody has the gifts. They just have to figure out how to turn them on, right? Isn't that the theory?
That is the theory, yeah. So when you get out here, which is soon. When you get out here, I'm going to strap you down and put some electrodes all over your brain and juice you up. We got a fantastic episode tonight, Josh. We are digging deeper, man, with someone that we've been wanting to chat with for a while. The guy that runs the Project Unity YouTube page with all sorts of fun, just good stuff. Jay himself is going to be on the show tonight. I'm excited about this. But anyways, let's get moving on before we get to Jay. Let's go ahead and get to our first segment of the week, which is Psychic Word of the Week.
And now, the Psychic Word of the Week.
Psychic Word of the Week, coming from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, June G. Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Honey Bear. I love you and I miss you and I haven't felt you around lately. I don't know if you're like, well, you got a baby now, you're good to go. I'm going to go hang out with Josh. Psychic Word of the Week. We flipped through the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary. I landed on page 232, Josh. The phrase that I came across was fifth state of consciousness. The fifth state, not the fourth. Not the third.
Not the third.
Not the second. And not Arkansas. This is a different state. This is the fifth state. It's in parentheses, it says C. Maxwell Cade and Nona Coxhead, but I thought it said Cokehead at first. I was like, okay, June G. Bletzer, what you doing here? So fifth state of consciousness says brainwave level of awareness when healing energy is being transferred between the healer and the patient. Non-detectable on the EEG instrument, but detectable on the mind mirror.
Wow.
Whoa.
We're going to have to.
Okay.
Now that's got to be in there. Okay. Right, no, sorry. Right. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Mind blown. But detectable on the mind mirror EEG instrument, showing both patients and healers' brainwaves change to a similar pattern. The alpha and the theta reactions generally associated with meditation are present, and the beta reactions of ordinary wakefulness. Not wokefulness, but wakefulness. Holy crap. dude.
So for those who may not understand or realize the significance here, in a Ouija board session that Stefan and I did, one of the last ones that we did before his move to Arizona.
Talking a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago, in my backyard of a house that I don't even own anymore, we did a session, and we were told to seek answers using a mind mirror. And we looked and looked and could not find anything. You know, we found things that were close, but nothing that used the word mind mirror. Well, here it is in this definition. So now it's like almost like a, you know, hey, you all got off track for a little bit, but here, I'm gonna throw this to
you. I'm gonna throw this right back at you. So the mind mirror EEG instrument is what that said. So if anybody has one or wants to buy one for us, hit us up.
Yeah, or if you just, yeah, maybe it's something simple, we can use it or make one or whatever. But yeah, anybody out there listening knows what a mind mirror is, we'd love to know.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to our final segment before we get to Jay from Project Unity, which is Encounters from the Fearscape. All right, Encounters from the Fearscape. Josh, I got a good one, man. I have made an acquaintance with a guy named Andrew Graham in Scotland, and who's a listener who loves our show, which is obviously, if he's hitting me up.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm super pumped about that. Our freaking UK listeners out there are the best, man. I tell you what, man. I love that whole area. We just get so much great response from people out there. But anyways, he sent in a number of stories, but I wanted to share one because it's a night hag story, and it's stuff that I go through as well, which is why he sent it. But take a listen. This is Andrew Graham from Scotland.
So we're going back a few years now. I probably have been in my late 20s, maybe 28 or 29 years old. I was staying at my ex-girlfriend's parents' house in the historic English city of Carlisle. This was founded in 78 AD by the Romans and formerly known as Lugubileum. Their property is an early Victorian townhouse, so roughly 1840-ish. The room was at the front of the house. It had all of its original features restored and even had the original doors, which is quite rare over here, including the Victorian fireplace. The room was perfectly square apart from the chimney breast. The bed was directly opposite of the large front-facing window and large horseshoe of space around the bed. So that's the scene. The event itself took place, and I kid you not, at 3 a.m. on the dot. And I only know this because the position I was stuck in conveniently had a clock in my line of sight. I remember opening my eyes in absolute fear, first seeing the clock and then this thing. The room was dark, but not pitch dark. I could make out features. I remember red eyes, and I got the distinct impression that whatever it was female, or was at least giving me that feeling. Even though I could see it, or about 4 or 5 feet away from me, I guess I also feel like it sat on my chest. And I get these flashes of it being right in my face, holding my wrists down. Between me and it was my ex-partner, and it completely ignored her. It spoke in my head, but not audibly. It kept telling me to give up and get out, and that it wanted me and needed me, and that I shouldn't fight it. Fight or flight had well and truly kicked in at this point. I felt as though I was slipping away, like I was drifting on a lazy river that was speeding up and getting more rough. And then this feeling came over me, a feeling of, no, you're leaving. I felt as though I was being invaded and pushed out more and more until, Okay, so I'm completely non-religious. Well, I don't identify with a religion, but I am spiritual. But I went ahead and started invoking Jesus and other religions. I mean, I told it repeatedly in my mind that it had no power here, absolutely no power over me, and that it needed to go immediately and stay away from me. I chanted and repeated things over and over in my head. I felt it getting angry and frustrated until I blinked my eyes. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And I could move. I lay there frozen. Ironically, frozen again. But this time, with fear. I went through it in my head and came to the conclusion that had I not fought it, I'd have not been the one blinking my eyes and getting up for breakfast the next day. I don't know why, but I never looked at the clock again after my initial viewing, so I can't say how long it lasted. It felt like a long time, and I forgot to mention, other than the red eyes, etc., it was very, very tall, and I don't know how to describe this, but it was blacker than black. It seemed to suck the light around it, like it had its own small black hole, or it was the black hole. It also appeared frail and thin, as though if I was to physically engage with it, I'd have no problem tossing it around. I find its face really hard to describe. And the weird thing is that I see it clearly when I close my eyes and I think about it, but I cannot describe it to you, and I don't know why. Now, this last point that is worth mentioning, and I don't know how I know this, but it felt old, like really, really old. I've always had a connection to the spiritual world. I see things that the majority of others don't see, and so does my mom. I could count on one hand, though, the amount of times I've been so afraid as I was then. Maybe 3/4 of the encounters with different things in different situations that I would describe as evil or malevolent. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell. I've never really known what to make of it, why it happened, or what's happened for it to not happen again. And saying that, I did take measures afterwards. I mean, I'm a great believer in crystals and their power, so I placed crystals next to me on the bedside table and have done so ever since. And after that experience, I carried a selection of crystals in my pocket for the best part of the year. So there you have it. I'd be interested to hear more about your experiences, Stefan. It's something I'd love to understand more. I'd be interested to hear your insights and your inspirations and your interpretations.
Wow. So something that really I've been holding on to, waiting for you to get done reading. Something that our good friend Santosh shared in our chat about a week to maybe 2 weeks ago was a different spin on night hacks. And so I've really been thinking about it lately, and I really want to, you know, propose this as a part of this story or a part of this this account, is that maybe night hags are not evil. Maybe they are like suckerfish on a shark, or the little things that, you know, that clean out the gills in fish. You know, it's not uncommon throughout nature for there to be animals that have a symbiotic relationship that clean other parts of animals. And so maybe, quote unquote, night hags are doing that for us. They're cleaning us of negative energies or whatever the case may be. And the comment of get out, let go, was not directed at him, but rather that negative energy that was latched on to him, and this thing was trying to free him of it.
Yes.
I wonder, though, because we don't encounter these things on a regular basis, we feel fear from them. But maybe if we look at it in a different light, maybe we realize that they're there to help us and to free us instead.
I guess, but you know, to me, someone who experiences these, they create more negative energy. It creates more fear, which is more negative energy. And so then, to me, that's a feeder as opposed to, you know, something that's benevolent.
I mean, I guess, you know,
I mean, it's like saying, is a succubus doing their job because they're releasing your sexual energy?
Well, the other thing I've said in the past, we've talked about night hags, is perhaps they are things that feed on fear.
Yep.
And so eliciting a fearful response in you is a way to feed themselves. They're fear vampires, basically.
I don't know. And I mean this as a joke, but food for thought. Food for thought. But let's go ahead, Josh. Let's get moving on and let's start digging deeper, man, with Jay from Project Unity. All right. Like we said, we are here with Jay from Project Unity.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll be honest here. I'm a fanboy. I subscribed to your channel on YouTube.
No.
Amazing content that you put out on YouTube.
Agreed.
But bottom line, you're putting out some amazing content on YouTube. It's really just, you know, one of the things that Stefan and I are constantly trying to do is look at other ways that people are thinking about this kind of crazy phenomena that's going on all around the world. And, you know, one of the things that we're driving towards is how does it kind of all relate, or as the name of the show suggests, converge together into what is the overall phenomena. You know, what prompted you to kind of get into it? I mean, yourself.
To be honest, I mean, I've only really been within this research field for a few years. Most people that know that, people who followed my channel will know that I haven't been around for, you know, for that long. But I came into this off of the back of consciousness research. So I was definitely came into this through the more esoteric, not the nuts and bolts side of this.
Not surprised. And, that's kind of a lot of lines how we kind of got into it as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it started off with consciousness studies and just a general interest in that. And it evolved into interest in UFOs quite simply because, my best mate, He was like, you've got to watch this documentary. And this was before I'd even given UFOs a single thought. Like, I'd maybe seen a couple of documentaries over the years, but I'd never considered myself, I'm interested in UFOs. So, you know, that was just not a part of my life. But yeah, off of the back of doing a couple of years of delving into consciousness and quantum mechanics and trying to put these two things together, my friend was like, you've got to check out this documentary. And it was it was Unacknowledged by Dr. Stephen Greer. That was kind of like my first introduction. And I watched that. Same. And I was like, wow, you know, there are some pretty serious guys talking to this dude on the record. You know, you got these ICBM launch officers and all these people. And so for me, it was that first introduction of like, oh, there's some serious people who are interested in this. So it captured my interest at that point. But when he finished the documentary, he introduced this whole concept of, oh, and you can use consciousness to actually interact with this phenomenon. You've got to get into these certain states. And because of the background research I've been doing a couple years prior, it clicked into place for me. It felt like something was saying, hey, this is how you can use that knowledge that you've been gaining. Because, you know, I actually, admittedly, before I watched that documentary, I was in a pretty bad place mentally, because I'd felt like I'd absorbed a lot of information, but I had no idea how it applied to my life. I was just like, exactly. So I'm full of all this stuff, and I think I have an idea about, you know, afterlife and consciousness, but none of this is helping me in my day-to-day life. It's actually just making me more, you know, stressed out, because I feel like there's all these big truths out there, but none of it's actually impacting me. So I remember detached. Sitting on my bed, and I get, you know, it's kind of like a prayer, but I was just sitting on my bed and I kind of said out loud, like, I need something, like, give me something real that relates to this stuff. Yeah, literally, like, you know, please just give me something, man. And then within a couple of weeks, I saw that documentary. So it felt like a very direct answer. It was kind of like, here you go, do this, and this will actually give you the proof that these things work. And so I've always said, I started this off with like a camera in the forest, putting a camera up on a tree branch and just kind of shouting about CE5 and consciousness, because I was so excited that I'd had this type of contact.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize how controversial it was within the UFO community at that point, because I was fresh in. I was just like this, you know, ignorant dude who was like, hey, I found out these things, let me tell you about them. And then I kind of get all these responses from people saying, oh, it's, you know, it's a CE5 Greer cult and all this. I was like, really? Yeah. I didn't know anything about that kind of behavior. And then, you know, you get into it more and you start to realize that there's actually a, you know, quite distinct camps within ufology of like, no, it's just nuts and bolts, it's just material engineering, it's just advanced physics. And then you have the, you know, the consciousness side, where it's like, no, it's an awakening process, we're going through a paradigm shift. And I think that there's maybe a truth within the middle of that, because it seems to me that whatever we're dealing with does represent at least some aspect of this, because I think it's probably a spectrum in terms of paranormal phenomena. But in terms of UFOs, like, we're obviously dealing with an extremely advanced technological capability, but that technological capability seems to bleed over into the space of consciousness, of mind. Yeah. And I think that that to me is just a signifier of the more advanced you become in physics and technology and energy, the more advanced you will become in consciousness, because you start to realize that these things share this space. And so yep. for me, like a UFO, a flying saucer, whatever you want to call it, like for me, it's a representation of what happens when science and spirit, or physics and metaphysics, yeah. come together and kind of form into something. You get this platform that can traverse dimensional spaces, perhaps even traverse consciousness in some way, because it seems to interact when you signal out in conscious intentions as something responds. So there's it. Yeah, for me, I came into this subject through the consciousness side. It was very important to me because I actually did have personal experiences with the phenomenon that informed me that this was a real thing. And, you know, since then I've tried my best to make sure I'm being rational with it, because this is a very outrageous thing to say, that you can use your mind to contact right. aliens. If we just kind of dilute it down to that, that's such yeah. an eye roll. Like, right. oh, I can contact aliens with my mind. Like, shut up. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think that's what Greer messed up on, was because right. he was, in my opinion, a pioneer. I'm with you. Unacknowledged yeah, changed
totally, totally.
Big time. And then when Lou and those guys with Unidentified were really getting big and they were pushing all that stuff, and Greer took a sharp left turn, because I think he felt like he was losing steam, because the focus went from him being the guy that was bringing disclosure to Lou and Chris Mellon and TTSA. And I yeah. think he felt like he did. And then at the same time, he did realize he was bringing in money.
Get that.
He stopped allowing it to be accessible. Money, like... Yeah, he stopped allowing it to be accessible to yeah, everyone, yeah, which is what yeah. it used to be.
And I think it's important that people understand that this stuff is doable. And I think that the problem Agreed. With someone like Greer is like, yeah, he's created this very... yeah, we have to say cult-like following, mm-hmm. and that's very off-putting for a lot of people, myself included. I mean, I've never used Greer's protocols. I respect.
Oh,
the
we
fact
have.
That, I've never used them personally. So I mean, I totally understand why he would do it the way he does it, because I think that a lot of this comes down to intention and belief. So if you mm-hmm. make it a very ritualistic process with a group of people, it's a bit like church, right? You're yeah. getting into this thing. We're doing it together. We're doing this resonance together. So I get that, but from the outside looking in, it's like yeah. oh shit, there's a bunch of people in a field with a puja table and candles and incense, and they're singing in Sanskrit to summon the aliens. It's like yep, yeah,
and everyone's
outsider,
like, where's the Kool-Aid? Like,
yeah, from an outsider looking in, it's crazy. Yeah. But I know from personal experience that this stuff does, it's real, it does yeah. happen. It's just
that's us too, we feel the same way. I mean, and we are big spirit. We have a YouTube yeah. show called Astral Stew,
yeah,
and we talk that's about good, the esoteric side of paranormality, right? And we do that because that is our spirituality. Yeah. And yeah. I do. We've used Greer's tools. We've kind of evolved them into our own style. But yeah, it's just a shame.
Well, I mean,
that it's moved that, because a lot of what he says, I think, has some merit.
It really feels a lot like the same type of exercise that you do when you do remote viewing.
Yeah, for
and so
sure.
it almost feels like you're just really remote viewing these things, yeah. and then you're inviting them to follow you back.
Yeah, I think it's the same concept. It's the yeah. same. It's the idea of using consciousness in some sort of non-local way. It's a transference of energy between two points in space yeah. and time. And for whatever reason, there is something on that other side that responds back to you. That's what just amazes me. I would never pretend to know what these things are. I would not. I don't know. I mean, I have ideas. I think that there's definitely an interdimensional component, but that's just my own personal bias. Like, I don't know. What I do know is that there is something that is beyond our own prosaic explanations of what is normal that responds to consciousness. And that, to me, is just such a fundamentally important thing for us to recognize, is that there is something out there that can respond to consciousness. What does that mean for the ability of the human mind? I mean, you know, when it comes to the whole generator receiver debate on consciousness, is it generated or is it received? I'm very much on the idea that we are a complex receiver. We're a translator. We render information, but it's coming from somewhere else. And I was actually, I put out a couple of tweets about this recently, because I've just been thinking about like the imagination. I think that it's an incredible thing that everything that we're looking at that's been made by humans, including the computers we're talking through, the microphone I'm talking through, everything has come from the imagination. all of it. And so we're these creatures, and we're the only example of this on planet Earth. We're these creatures that can draw information, ideas, images, inventions, constructs out of a non-physical space that doesn't actually exist and bring it into the physical world and creates that. We're the only thing that does that. That is insane that we have that ability. I mean, we're kind of like idea machines. We just kind of excrete ideas out into the world. And I find that that's such a mysterious property of an animal. We have no other evidence of something doing that outside of the phenomenon.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately is, you know, we saw an uptick in UFO activity after the first detonation of the atomic bomb, right? Like shortly after there, you know, we started getting all this UFO activity going around, nuclear sites and that sort of thing. And then later, you know, you kind of fast forward a little bit, 20 or 30 years, we again started to see an uptick in UFO activity when kind of the New Age movement kind of took mm-hmm. off, and you got all these people that are expanding their kind of thoughts and worldview and universal view and everything, and you see an uptick in UFO activity. And so it really makes me wonder if, you know, like you said, the fact that our imagination is creating all these things that really, if you break it down, we're manifesting the things that we need. Are we manifesting UFOs? Not to say that they're not real, but are we inviting them to come and be here because we are ready for that level of experience and interaction? Mm.
That's a good question. I mean, it's yeah. possible, isn't it? I mean, it's similar, although I think with the Jungian impression was that it was some sort of collective overmind symptomatic response to consciousness as a collective human society. So the idea from the Jungian perspective is that these are what I think the Tibetans call tulpas, like psychic yeah. objects, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a materiality to them. I think that there is a physicality. And obviously as well, and I say this all the time, I think it's probably a spectrum, right? I mean, I don't necessarily think that this is all just creatures from Zeta Reticuli, or I don't just think that it's beings from a upper yeah. fold of dimensional space. I think that we're probably dealing with a whole swath of different things. But when it comes to the consciousness, and when it comes to these, whatever these intelligences are that respond to consciousness, I think that has a deeper meaning to it. I think there's something deeper to be tapped into there. I mean, why are they responding to these specific states? I mean, to me, it almost felt when I was going out into my back garden and, you know, projecting thoughts and having, apart from the orange orbs, which were just the most explicit, obvious yeah. phenomenon, like there's no way to deny it. But I was seeing, you know, these flash bulbs, like flashes of light in the sky with no discernible object actually there, and just like a black void of space kind of flashing and little things like that. And it makes me think, at least at the time, it made me feel like they're basically going, yes, keep thinking that way. Like they're just, yeah. they're giving you little signs of like, yes, you're using you're opening your right. consciousness up, you're expanding it. And I feel like they're just trying to give you a little visual signature to say, good job, you're doing yeah. it. Keep doing it. And yeah. I do wonder, because the thing is, when I started talking about this and I started encouraging people, I got a few people coming out of the woodwork early on claiming to be intelligence and warning me and being like, you know, sure. you're projecting your thoughts out into the void and you have no idea what could be out there. And, you know, they seeded a lot of anxiety into me over doing it. And I look back on that because I've been getting this urge to kind of go back and do it again and start doing this the consciousness contact, the CE5. And yeah, there's like a little bit of me that's like a little resentful of that type of interaction, because I feel like maybe if I'd have kept going, I would have seen something even more extravagant, because it felt like a progression. I was seeing these little white orbs that didn't really behave like satellites, and I was seeing these flashes of light, and it kept going. And then these orange orbs turned up and literally were just like, yeah, we're here. Like, we are here. This is something that you can't deny. And that's where I kind of teetered off. Like, I kind of teetered off around there. So I feel like if I'd have kept going, I don't know, maybe I would have been...
The other thing I was going to ask you is if you have ever heard of the Philip experiment.
I might have heard of it, but not by the name.
Sure. So the reason I bring this up, because it's what we were talking about, tulpas and things like that. So there was a group of, I don't know, parapsychologists, I guess, that wanted to see if they could manifest a spirit. So that was the whole thing, was the spirit manifestation. And they supposedly created a spirit named Philip. They were able to interact with him, talk to him, create a backstory with him, and all of these things, and was created. But then, of course, and so, of course, they created a tulpa in Tibetan terms. And so the question always then remained, did they create the spirit? Because it was knocking things off the shelf. It was doing things like that. Did they create this spirit? Or was it an entity that was already there that used that energy to essentially form, right? And so that Philip experiment is something to me that continues this day. People do it. There's still groups that do it and things like that, that makes you wonder. It's like, how much of this is our manifestation versus something that's actually there? Or is it us giving it the energy it needs to be seen, to be heard?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, these are the things that genuinely fascinate me more than anything. I mean, you know, we're all just monkeys trying to figure this stuff out. I mean, well, you got to think. I mean, to a certain point, it's like, do we even have the right to know everything? As these little primates on a single planet, we haven't even managed to get off of this planet properly yet, and we expect to understand like the fundamentals of creation. And I just think that, you know,
and then when you do find out, should we share it with everyone, right? That's always the big question. That's when, yeah. And then you go, man, if the government does have the stuff, I get it.
Well, you know, there is a part of you that has to go, like, maybe there are genuinely just some really nervous, you know, 5-star generals or whatever that are sitting there going, like, how the hell do we tell people this? Yeah. Like, how do we tell people? And I get that. I mean, I still think that you kind of need to just let the chips fall where they may, just like let people know fundamentally important truths. I mean, like, in terms of the two greatest questions of humanity, it's what is there after death and are we alone in the universe? Like, they're the two primary, you know, philosophical questions of humanity. And so if one of them can be satisfactorily answered now, I feel like that's unfair to keep that from us, regardless of what kind of damage it could do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult one because you don't actually know. Maybe there's some people out there that know the reality of it and are like, you're kidding me, buddy. Like, if you knew, you wouldn't sleep a wink like I do. I know. It's like, you know, you hear people like talk.
You know, 42.
You know, you hear these people like, you know, Tom DeLonge saying he's spoken to people that are saying that they, you know, they don't sleep at night, and if only people knew what was going on. So, you know, that could be true. It could be scaremongering. I try not to believe much coming from the government, like government.
Same. And we've talked we talk about it quite a bit, that your spiritual awakening is a very personal thing.
Right.
Right. I can tell you all about my experiences, but until you have your own, it won't change you. And
absolutely.
So, I mean, although on the one hand, I can say, well, it would be nice if the government came out and told them, yep, we've got all this stuff. We've been interacting with aliens and all this kind of stuff. But for the vast majority of people, until they have their own experiences with those things, they're never really going to truly accept or believe it.
No, I mean, experience is the greatest teacher, isn't it? That is the defining teacher and accelerant of personal development is experience and what you take from those experiences. So, I mean, I count myself very fortunate that the journey that I took that led up to me being introduced to the UFO phenomenon allowed me to very quickly transition into, oh, this consciousness side, it's legit. Like, it just from a subjective personal level, it resonated so strongly with me. And then I went out and I had these experiences, and I think that that's it's a difficult part of this, because this is where you can get drawn into like slightly culty kind of behavior. But there is a level of faith, I guess, belief and faith, because, you know, like you said, it was my personal journey building up to UFOs, highly subjective, very synchronistic. I was paying attention to things in my life for the last couple of years leading up to it, and everything when I got introduced to the UFO subject, everything clicked into place for me personally. Like, oh, this, all these things in my past that I've been building up to, this makes sense. Now I'm at this culminative point. I've been told that there is this thing I can do. So for me, it was like, I believe it, boom. And you know, you could say, oh, that's a little naive, but I had experiences. It worked. Yeah, right. It worked. And so, you know, I get it when someone's had none of that type of upbringing or experience. For them, it's just like, that's a crazy idea. And because it's a crazy idea, to them, it doesn't work. Like, that's just how this thing seems to work. It's very frustrating, but it seems to be the way it is. Yeah, and it's only getting worse. Like, it's only
we always think
worse.
It's Terminator, like that it's going to be some robot that's going to come in. No, it's the algorithm that is the precursor to Terminator.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, you look at things like The Matrix, and I think the only thing that they got wrong with The Matrix is that we got taken over by the robots. We're walking into the metaverse. We don't care. Like, we're just like, yeah, let's do it. Like, we're just going to plug into the digital landscape. You know, we're going to be on IV drips. I'll just be sitting here with a goggle on my head, like, you know, just experiencing the world through a screen.
Just like on WALL-E.
Yeah, dude, it's like that's happening. Like, I don't know if, because I'm still a young guy, but I don't know if I'm just getting to that point where I'm a little bit too old and I'm looking at this stuff and going like, this is crazy. Like, this is just silly. Back in my day, we didn't even have Facebook. Like, you know, like, but I don't know. Like, it's scary, dude. Like, this idea that we're just going to start immersing ourselves into the digital landscape to the extent where we live our lives in there. We trade currency in there. We trade property. People are buying property in the metaverse. And it's
property.
Like,
my boss just did. He bought a house so that he could hang his NFTs, and people have come to visit. They're staying like an Airbnb. He's made so much money off of this.
This is the thing, though. I have been sitting here like, I don't like this, but if we get into this early,
I'm going to do it.
To make a bit of money, like, you know, sell a Project Unity NFT or something. I don't know.
See, and then it's going to get to the point where, like, guys, I saw a real person yesterday. No, you didn't. Those aren't real.
Come on. Those,
No, he was in my meta neighborhood. He was in my meta neighborhood, but he was flesh and bone.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird. Like, I think that a lot of people who are a little bit older are looking at this world and going, my God, I'm glad I'm going out soon. Like, because it's just crazy. It is crazy. I mean, we're you know, this to bring it into kind of like a spiritual sense, I do look at the world and think, I think we're going through a transition, like some sort of really turbulent transition, because so much of the old systems are being challenged now in multiple sectors, whether it's like financial or geopolitical or like there or social. Like, there are so many different areas where the old system is becoming too weak to support what's coming above it. And we've got this new technological infrastructure and we've got, you know, digital Bitcoin currencies, and there's this futuristic sense that's coming up, but it's still trying to crack through this really old archaic system.
Yeah, it's like the Dark Ages. Before the Dark Ages was not a darker age. It was actually very illuminated.
Yeah.
But things went backwards, like how we're seeing things happen now. But then the Renaissance came.
That's it. And I think I have optimism for it. My concern is, because I think that there's nothing inherently evil about technological progression. I think we need to have a more empathetically and consciousness oriented progression coming up in alignment with it. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong. I think that it might even be a natural part of biological evolution to transition into some sort of technological symbiosis, because at the end of the day, we're from this planet, we're an expression of nature, and we're building technology. Therefore, technology is an expression of nature inherently within the system of the biosphere that we operate on. So, I mean, it's part of the intrinsic value of evolution in nature to apparently develop technologies through these weird primates with opposable thumbs. Like, that's what we seem to do. But I think that what worries me is the power dynamics, the World Economic Forum, and all of these types of entities that are trying to gain the control of these new platforms coming in. Because if they're in control of it, you're looking at social credit score China. That's what we're looking at, really. And I don't want that. I don't think anyone outside of these types of dictatorships wants to have some sort of heavily managed algorithm-driven social credit score style society. But that is where we're going if we're not careful with the way that we handle these technologies.
Well, I heard a really interesting theory the other day, and it was that the metaverse is where we'll be able to interact with interdimensional beings. So that's why it has to come into play. that Bitcoin is the currency of trade on other planets. So from us going to the Bitcoin and the more mathematical based monetization, that sets us up to be able to interact and interchange with other species around the galaxy or universe. That we're the only that we actually now have a spaceport somewhere on Earth. I don't remember exactly where it is, but somewhere we've got a spaceport on Earth, an intergalactic spaceport. That this is all kind of
on the other side of the moon, man.
These are all kind of things that are happening to get us ready as a people to join the Galactic Federation, as it's been called. So
do you think that's true?
I'm open to anything at this point. I mean, I don't have I don't have anything that says it's not. So
no, I'm with you on that.
I mean, who were we? We were just talking to somebody. Oh, it was John Ramirez, actually. And one of the questions that asked was a similar question to that. And he goes, how many pictures have you guys seen of the dark side of the moon? Really? Really? He's like, there's more going on there than you realize. And he was like, he's like, why do you think China keeps spending time there? And then he's like, that's all I can say. Next question.
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
do you guys remember the testimony of Carl Wolf, the NSA guy?
Oh, yeah.
So that was the dude that said he got taken to NASA, to like that very secure part of NASA, and was shown by a guy of similar rank to him mosaics of the moon that showed towers and radar dishes. So I mean, you know, he always struck me as a very credible witness. I mean, obviously I don't know the guy, but listening to him talk, he seemed very sincere. He didn't really give off many red flags to me. So if he's telling the truth, then yeah, I mean, way back in the day they found out that there was, you know, bases on the moon, and I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked to find that out at all.
I mean, I hate to sound conspiracies, I'll get out, but we love this stuff, man. Yeah. And Josh and I, if you've got Gaia, they've got a program called Deep Space, and that first season digs hardcore into that secret space program, and even talks about that British program that came out that talked about the people already on Mars and stuff in the 80s. That of course they said was fake, but they treated it as if it was a real documentary. But then people are like, that's because it really was a real documentary. So it's like,
But this is it, isn't it? It's a continuous journey of smoke and mirrors and not knowing what's really real. And I think that I think a lot of that has been purposefully stoked by the intelligence communities. Like, let's just keep them arguing over Palladians and Light Warriors and what's this and what's that.
And they're
all
just sitting there smoking stogies, just laughing.
Yeah, you know, they're just swapping technology with the Greys or whatever. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on there, but you know, we're down here arguing on UFO Twitter about semantics, and that's what they want.
UFO Twitter,
that place stresses me out. It brings out the side of me that I don't like just the the more aggravated irrational side of me. I have to really just keep it cool. And
dude, I'm the same way, and I have to talk about it. Like, so I'm a huge Superman fan, right? But people, because I'm a Superman fan, immediately think I don't like Batman, and so they immediately make me have to argue as to why Superman could kill Batman. And like, it's this whole thing, and I'm like, I hate you guys because I love Batman, but you're forcing me into a corner here to have to say these things when I don't dislike Batman. Yeah. I love Batman, but you're making me have to say why I like Superman better.
That's a little bit like me with naming myself Project Unity, because the problem with that is I can never have a bad attitude. Everyone's like, oh, so much for unity. So much for unity. It's like, dude, I'm just having a bad day. I'm just having a bad day. I'm 27 years old. I'm still figuring life out. I'm like, you know, I'm not some Zen warrior. Like, oh, so much for unity, man.
Way to bring us together, Jay.
Honestly, I have had so many people say that, like, oh, so much for Project Unity.
Oh, and they all think they're the first ones to say it too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, come on, guys. Let he who is without mental health issues cast the first tweet. Like, come on, we're all messed up. We're all messed up.
I bet Andy from UAP New York board, I bet he gets all the time, well, way to be a New Yorker with your attitude there, buddy.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, very cliche to say, but you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. And it's sometimes you've got to, you know, smash through a window to figure out what's on the other side of it. So,
absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, some people, especially on Twitter, are just really not very nice. And like, you know, I'm just going to block that. I'm just going to block it. I don't care. Like, if you're going to come at me in a rational way and be aggressive and just be mean, then I'm just going to block you. I don't really see the problem with that. It's just when, you know, you don't want to create an echo chamber. I'm quite happy for people to call me out on different things and debate.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it just like Twitter itself, I think because of the fact that you can only type short messages, people just decide to go, and you know, like they just throw aggression at you because you can't really get your point across that easily.
They're bored too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, they're bored. Yeah. Yeah.
The internet helped make Tolkien's trolls manifest.
Dude, totally.
Like, shine really some light on them and then they stop because
it gave everyone the ability to put their point across, which is fine in theory. Dude, in practice,
every day here in America, yeah. It's nonstop in real life too. Man, so divided right now.
Well, I have to admit, I'm more tuned into American politics than my own country's politics.
I
just
think
so
most everybody is, because it's insane.
Just, there's so much. It's just crazy to watch. I have to admit, it's just crazy.
Oh, my
to
brother
watch.
Lives in Belgium. Yeah. And he's always just like, we still watch more of your news than ours.
It's like daytime television.
He's excited because he's getting married in July, so he can finally stop being an American citizen. He's like, I have to swear allegiance to the Kingdom of Belgium, dude. I'm done.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, it's like being English. Like, no one likes the English. You go on holiday anywhere. No one likes the English.
Oh, they hate it. That's why everyone here, like all my brother and everybody I know that lives in Europe, they're all like, if you travel, you tell everyone you're Canadian.
Yeah, I say I'm Irish. Irish or Welsh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh man, what's so ridiculous? So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lull in the.
Oh, I thought I was waiting for you, Josh. I thought you had something. So I was going to ask then. So I know you said you've had some experiences and things like that. What was your first kind of UFO kind of experience? I know we talked a little bit about how you got into this, but like, what was like? Is there a moment that happened to you when you were younger or anything like that that really?
No, so I'm not one of those childhood experiences. Hmm. I thought I saw a ghost when I was a kid, but it was so long ago that I can barely remember the memory. So it's not really worth it because I don't know if it was real or not.
Right.
But yeah, like, I, a lot of these people say they had, you know, experiences from childhood. That's not me. I didn't have that. I don't actually remember the first experience through CE5 because at the beginning of it, it was like white flashing lights and there was a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, I'd see a flashbulb in the sky or there'd be an unusual number of satellite-like objects coming over. I mean, I watch the sky. I'm a sky watcher anyway, regardless of the UFO subject. I always like to look up at the stars. So I'm used to seeing satellites. It was just the number, like the sheer volume of them. And then some of them would start to glow really brightly and then flash at the apex and then glow back down again. And they'd do that a couple times as they were traversing. Yeah, so that was like the kind of, that was the first stuff I saw. But in terms of, I mean, have you guys heard about my experiences with the orange orbs?
Just how you briefly talked about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing, because I had four separate experiences within roughly about a month back in the summer of 2019 with these orange orbs. But these are the most memorable, and the first one was just incredible. I mean, it was just incredible, and I when I talk about it, I listen to myself, and I know that there's people in the UFO community who have like really outlandish experiences that are just so detailed. But even I still feel a little bit like, oh God, no one's believing me when I'm saying this. You know, I just get this feeling, but it really did happen. I was outside in my garden. To give you a very quick kind of overrun of the story, at this point, I've been, you know, getting into these meditative states and projecting my intentions for contact for, or at least a couple of months, you know, and seeing these white orbs and all this kind of stuff. And then I saw a flash of light in the sky. I was at the back of my garden looking towards my house, which is literally just out there. So I was way at the back of that garden looking towards this building. And there was a flash of light in the sky, which I'd seen before, like, you know, flash bulbs. So I looked up and I saw this flash of light, and then it did it again. And again, and it was just in this one dark spot of the sky, crystal clear sky, but there was no stars, and it was just flashing on and off every second and a half. And I was staring at that, and I'd never seen anything just kind of flashing on and off stationary for so long. So I was like really interested, like, wow, there's something, it's definitely something. So, you know, kind of sent some thoughts saying thank you for being here and all of that. But it was going on for a few minutes. So eventually I just kind of was panning around the sky looking for anything else. And as I turned to the left-hand side of my sky, and this is, again, it's a crystal clear night, I saw this cloud, like, up in the sky, but I didn't really look at it properly. I kind of turned, saw it, went like that, and then turned back and looked at it, kind of did a double take. And when I properly focused on this cloud, it was, I still struggle to properly describe it. It was like it was staticky or shimmery. There was something about the, once I locked on and stared at it, I could, and it was like a, you know, a relatively decent sized cloud, and it was kind of dark, kind of stormy looking cloud, but it was shimmering, and it had like this light staticky overlay, like all the particles were really wow. agitated or something. Mm. And you wouldn't have seen it if you just kind of looked up at the sky and looked away. When I locked on is when I saw this very strange behavior, and I'd never seen that from a cloud. So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna just stare at you. And yeah, I know, right? Like, so imagine my house is here, and there's a cloud here, and the cloud's going to come across my house, and I'm standing at the back. So this cloud is eventually going to go past my house and over that side from left to right. So right. It's moving across. I'm staring at it. It gets literally in alignment with my house and me on this path, and it does a complete right angle turn. Like it literally like mm-hmm. that. Super abrupt, super just not like a bit of wind drifting it just yeah. changed direction, and that made my heart skip a beat. I was like, okay, now I'm a bit freaked out because this thing is going to be above me very soon. It's now coming, you know, it's high up in the sky, but it was literally gonna be above my head. And so I was staring at this thing, it comes above my head, and within a second and a half, it just kind of disappeared. It just sucked into itself. It just went like that into itself, vanished. The cloud just vanished, and inside the cloud was 25-30, that's kind of my ballpark, 25 to 30 orange orbs of light in a triangle formation, like it mm-hmm. like 1 2 3 4 5 6 something like that stacked together yeah. in a complete configuration. It didn't loiter, like it literally, as this cloud yeah. dissipated, it was still moving. It just kept moving. I had to turn around and look at it go off into the distance, and that was my first super explicit experience with something that was just undeniable. And I remember it was like 10 o'clock at night, and like I phoned my mum up, like she was the first one. I was like, I had to tell my mum, this is crazy. Phone my mum. She was at a restaurant with my stepdad, and I was just like, mom, I got this crazy experience with orange. I was like barely cognizant. She's like, what the hell's going on, Jay?
Like, he's like, I okay? told you that boy is crazy.
Oh dude, I was melting down though. Like I was melting down because what are you, what is this? I couldn't think of the words. I remember when it was coming over my head, and it was this cloud, and I was like a rabbit in headlights. I was just staring, like no thoughts in my head. Like everyone thinks, why didn't you grab your camera? Dude, I was not thinking about anyone else. I was not thinking about getting evidence. I was just trying to absorb what I was seeing, yeah. and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It's like hypnotic. A lot of people say this. It's like it's hypnotic, yeah. Yeah, and it is. It's a really strange thing, because part of me wonders, is there some sort of thing that it's doing to prevent you from getting the need to film, or is it just that it's so shocking that you stop thinking about anything else? Away. Yeah, I think
I think it's the same thing as abduction. It's that same thing. You know, you look at Whitley Strieber's account. You know, he was frozen in place and blah, blah, blah. But then you've got Travis Walton, who was yeah. cognizant. Yeah. Like yeah. he was up and he was moving around, but he was still in this position where he could see things and do things. So there's all these things you just wonder. And is that an effect even just when we're looking at something? And then are there people that can look past that or have an ability yeah. that yeah. that doesn't affect them as strong as say the other person? Because you know, there are times even at CE5 events where you'll have 20 people there, 5 can see it but 15 yeah. can't. Yeah.
I think it's
all looking at the same spot.
I think it's training. I think it is. I think that it's like mm-hmm. a muscle. It's like a physical muscle. If you work it out, it will get stronger. And I think that yep. the mental muscles of the mind, it's the same thing. You have to work it out. And that's like meditation and different mindfulness, you know, yeah. Practices. So I think that, yeah, because I would have loved to have been some sort of, you know, galactic ambassador and like sent my thoughts out like, welcome, come and speak to me. But I was just like, could not think about anything. Yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, you're still just a dumb human being, even though you've done this thing. You're still just an idiot.
Well, but that's your level up experience, right?
Right, so
that's what,
right.
That's yeah. what puts you, your mind, you started to level up, you started to think about things differently. And that's the thing that I've noticed is everybody who has an experience of that level or that magnitude, which Stephanie and I have had a couple like that, it really elevates what you yeah. think about it and yeah. how you think about it and how you process things. And even just the small things of like, I don't know, water, and thinking about how water is so special on this planet and how much we need it, and like, you know, what that means to us as a people, and you know, should we treat it differently? Like, does it have consciousness, yeah. and should we treat it differently? So it's just it just changes everything that you think about. And every, I mean, I've even read a lot of testimony from people who've had experiences that say that they all of a sudden have a renewed interest in like environmental protection. Right. They have a want to try to figure out like different ways of creating clean energy. Like there's the spark that kind of happens in people to want to better your life.
Well, that's what happened with me. I mean, I had these experiences, and then that's when Project Unity got created. And that's when, fantastic. You know, like I said, at the beginning, I was just going out into the forest near me and putting a camera up, because I didn't want people hearing me going like, hey, you can come, you know, I didn't want any
hey,
random
space
person.
Brothers.
Like, it's like, yeah, dude, like my neighbor's just going like, what the hell? Like, you know, this is crazy. So
it's still taboo. That's what sucks.
It's still taboo. Yeah. It's still taboo. So, I mean, I felt the urge to get people to understand that we are more special and powerful than we think we are. And our conscious mind is extremely powerful, and we've forgotten. I think I really do think that at some point in the human story, we were far more advanced in consciousness tools, and we've simply forgotten. We've simply forgotten, I mean, especially in the West. And it's being, you know, I don't like to look at things in these extreme polarities, but just as a way of visualizing it, it really is almost like a bit of a spiritual war. It's like we've got this stuff like news and all of these systems constantly saying, be afraid, be freaked out, don't have any self-worth, look at all these people doing better than you all the time, feel bad about your life. Like, that's basically what's being shouted at us all the time. And it's like, oh wow, if you were going to look at this as some sort of story, as some sort of like spiritual battle or something like that, these are the people that are trying to suppress us from being what we truly are, which are these powerful spiritual beings. Now, I do think that there is an element of truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I gotta say, Jay, I mean, I'm thankful that you did have these experiences and you did decide to make them public and do the things that you've done, because your channel's a really good channel, man. And the thing that I appreciate it more than anything, because we're getting ready to wrap up here, but the thing that I really appreciate more than anything is the quality that goes into every one of your videos. You definitely have a gift and a talent for editing and putting these things together, because I am tired of just some fat guy sitting at a desk in his mom's basement going, well, this is the video that I found on the internet yesterday, and I just want to show you guys the UFO that's up here. Like, you get tired of those, and yours has, I mean, it has cable professionalism to it. I mean, it looks
apart from this crappy webcam that I'm using.
But I mean, they look like clips from the History Channel or Travel or something along those lines. And that is a huge need in our community, and I thank you for that, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I mean, I fell into this. I'm trying to stumble through it. I got a couple of lucky breaks quite early on in terms of like interviews that put me a little bit more on the map, and it's been a crazy journey for me over the past few years. You know, I never expected to be doing this and to be connected with the sometimes I have to pinch myself, like the people some of the people that I'm speaking with and you know the contacts that I've managed to get. It's like, I mean, you know, an example, and I want to say his name so badly, but I'm just not going to do it until I've pressed stop record on Zoom. I can't say his name, but I have got one hell of an interview on Tuesday. Like,
oh man, he's got a Placidian, guys. I'm just telling you right now.
I mean, all I'll say is that he is a former director of multiple intelligence agencies. Like,
he's a
big dog, and he hasn't been interviewed in a long time, really ever on this subject. So I'm speaking with him on Tuesday, and I'm holding back from saying his name just in case someone from the Intel community messages him going, don't do it. Don't go on Project Unity.
I know, I would say, hey, this is probably coming out after that. But man, we've had the weirdest things happen to us when we've talked about stuff where, so
you gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful.
I hate to say it, but I'm totally buying into that stuff. But yeah, we will absolutely share that when that comes out.
Awesome.
So real quick, where can people find Project Unity on the socials as well as YouTube and stuff, and anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Yeah, man. Well, you can find me on YouTube at just Project Unity. It should hopefully come up if the algorithms aren't completely killing me. So if you type in Project Unity, you should get it. And I am on Twitter at The Project Unity. And they're basically really the only socials I use. I need to probably up my game and get on Instagram and TikTok.
I know we're trying to get over to TikTok.
I don't want to go there. Don't make me go there, boys.
It's just more work. People think we just don't like it. No, it's more work, man.
It is a lot more work. Yeah, it is a lot more work. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on YouTube, and that's pretty much where I hang my hat.
But Jay, thank you so much from Project Unity. Check out all of the places he said to go check out. We're gonna have everything tagged in the video summary as well. You'll be able to find out all that stuff there, and be on the lookout for this amazing interview that is apparently coming. So we're gonna be looking at that. But Jay, thank you so much. You are welcome back anytime, sir. And in fact, Josh, we need to get this man on Astral Stew because I think he's gonna fit that really well.
Sounds good to me, guys. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Really fun talking to you. Actually, I've had a good laugh.
Thank you so much, Jay. Man, guys, get onto his YouTube page and check out all the amazing content this fool's got. Love all of his experiences and the way that he's done it. It's encouraged, I know, you and I to try out some different ways of doing so. And I've got a few ideas that when you get out here, we'll be able to share with everyone once we do so.
Yeah.
But we got to get out of here, Josh. Again, Jay, Project Unity, thank you so much for coming on today. Make sure you go check out his stuff. Check out our website, theconvergenceenigma.com. Check out there for all archived episodes. Make sure to share, like, review, rate, all that jazz. Do the stuff that needs to be done. If you're listening here on YouTube, smash that subscribe button and smash that notification bell and hit that like button.
Don't break your phone or whatever you're listening
to. Don't break your phone. And other than that, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Convergence Enigma with Josh and Stefan. I have been Stefan, and I just want to remind you, keep your eyes on the skies.
And I have been Josh. The truth is now.
And remember, folks, keep searching, keep questioning. Good night, everybody.
Good night.